God's got some good things in store for us tonight, amen. I've been receiving a lot from Him this week. I've spent some time with God, and I'm just really excited for all that He has for us. Praise the Lord. You know, God is so good. Sometimes our focus can be off on so many different things, and God has been dealing with me a lot on that. And of course, I'm still sorting some things out, but I know this, as we seek God, as we stay before Him, that it doesn't matter what goes on around us. It doesn't matter what goes on near us, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what goes on anywhere. All that matters is what we do, amen? And so with that, we'll get into tonight's message. It's called Daily Download. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. And the first thing that was on my heart to talk to you about is just having purpose. You know, we're not meant to just kind of to just meander through life and just kind of bounce off walls like the blind people or somebody in the dark, you know. Not that blind people just bounce off walls, but you know what I mean, just like, you know, we're children of the light. We're meant to be able to see. You know, one of the greatest things that God has given us is the ability to be different, the ability to see. That ability keeps us from being led astray. That ability keeps us from being blinded to the things of the devil, the things of the earth. Amen. But we're supposed to seek Him and be in a place that's of His presence. Amen. And in that is a place of purpose. And so we should always live as people of purpose, I should say. You know, of course, there's many things going on in our nation this week. There's been it's been a kind of a crazy season, and a lot of things that are all over the place. But I would encourage you with this, that no matter how it looks, it never matters how it looks if we're people of faith, if we're truly people of faith. Because, you know, I was thinking about this even this morning. Or this afternoon or sometime. But you know, Jesus lived in one of the most evil societies, evil rulerships that there was. And you know, Jesus didn't go around being all focused on it all the time. What He stayed focused on was the things of God, amen? He focused on the direction of God and the direction that the Lord had for him in that day, in that season, whatever it was. And because of that, Jesus walked through life with complete and perfect peace, amen? Praise the Lord. And we saw that if He wasn't in peace, that He would go to a place where He would know for peace. And that was turning His eyes upon the Lord. And so that's what tonight's message is going to be about, is just directing our attention in the right place. But getting our daily download, finding out where God wants us to be and when He wants us to be there. And if we follow the Lord, you know, I found as I follow the Lord, my life works out. Amen. As I get in that place of following God, you know, I mean, there's people that are preaching all kinds of things. They're preaching all kinds of different ideas on how to do this and how to do that. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. One of the things that I've learned, because sometimes people can think, man, I got the easiest plan. I got the easiest way. And then they lay it out for people. It's like, that's not easy at all. That's different. I don't even understand what this person is saying. You know, that's far and above above who I am and what I can get. But I've found this, that as I seek the Lord, as I put things before the Lord, glory to God, He always answers me, He always talks to me, that He makes the answer not hard, that He makes it easy to get to that end spot, amen, that place that I want to be, praise the Lord. And so I don't need to have all the direction, I don't need to have all the knowledge, I don't need to have all the wisdom, all I need to know is the place that has it, amen. And so that's, we're going to get into some of that tonight, amen. So let's start Matthew 4:4. Praise God. So thankful for the Word. The Word is what changes our lives. Matthew 4:4. Praise God. Now, I couldn't remember, there's aspects of this message that are parts of several messages that I've preached. I think that they were all in Mayville, but I don't know that for sure. So, you know, you may know as you hear the message, but I knew this early in the week, because this message isn't one that I just came up with today, last minute, just pull out an old message and thought, oh, I need to preach this. But no, it was something that the Lord dealt with me earlier in the week on, and as I stayed in before Him, it seemed like that this was the way to go. And God has given me more revelation on things, and of course, we always believe for more to come out. But it's important to understand these things. It's important to understand the truths of the word. Amen. And so that's why we're getting back into it. Glory to God. And Matthew 4:4 says here, but Jesus is speaking, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, of course, we know that this is when, this is in context, is when Satan was tempting Jesus. Jesus was hungry. He was in a place of, he had been fasting for 40 days. He had been fasting, and so he'd been without food for a long time. And, the devil came to him and tried to encourage him to use his ability to change his current situation, to use the power that he knew that he had to change his current situation. And Jesus said that it is written, man shall not be live by bread alone. And this is a really important thing for us that we need to understand. This is a really important thing that the body of Christ needs to understand, is that, we can get distracted by many things. But the most important thing that we can have is the word of God, is the direction of God. Now, of course, we know primarily, first and foremost, it's the word that is written, the word that we have written down. But how many know that the Holy Spirit will also speak to us? And the Holy Spirit will give us direction for our lives. He'll give us the feeding that we need. He will give us the places and the directions that we need to go, the things that we need to do to carry out a day or to fulfill the day. And so the most important thing that we can have is a relationship with the Lord. Now see, Jesus knew this. He knew that food was a thing that would, it would come and go. There would be times when there'd be more, there'd be times where there'd be less. But it wasn't food that was the primary principle. You know, what God deals with me so much on is the distractions in my own life. And what I see in the church, of course, is the same thing as the distractions of life. Now, of course, there's some distractions that we can't help. There's distractions like work and things like that. If you have family, there's distractions and all these things. You know, we have to understand that, you know, even something like family, which is God ordained and God given, it's still a distraction. In fact, Paul addressed that when he was talking about marriage. He said, if you can stay unmarried, it's better that you don't, because if you're married, basically that you'll be distracted. And he says, you know, he wasn't saying that being married was a bad thing, but just understanding that there's distractions in life. And so if we can limit distractions, of course, that's the most important thing that we can do. That's an incredibly important thing that we can do. But, you know, as Jesus was dealing with this, he was answering the devil according to the way that the devil was speaking to him. The devil was trying to trip him up with, thinking of, or get him to think about his flesh. And of course, that's where we always, that's kind of where we always get off, isn't it? We always get off when we start thinking about our flesh. We get distracted by something in our flesh, and that carries us away from what we knew what we were supposed to be doing. You know, we live in a time period that I've literally prayed out to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, have mercy on us. We live in the most distracted time, we live in the most distracted time that has ever existed. There is so much that is intending on taking, you know, there's the basic things of life, but then there's even beyond the basic things. You know, I find this one of the things, and I've got to get better at it, but in every political election season, I start getting distracted by like everybody else with the things that are going on. And you know, I've always said, you know, under the guise of being in the know and in knowledge, that I need to to look at the news headlines and stuff like that. But I'm even learning that is just a bunch of garbage. And you know, the Bible directs us to be in truth. And we have to understand this, that most of the things that you experience, if you've paid attention to the news at all in the past, especially the past year, and I'm not just talking about the elections, but I'm talking about everything in general. One of the things you'll see real quick is that there's a lot of different opinions about the truth, isn't there? There's a lot of different opinions about what's real and what's fake. There's a lot of different opinions. So you have this person saying, well, as a matter of fact, global warming is a real thing and we need to worry about it, because if we don't do something about it in the next few years, it's going to be too late and we'll all die, right? And then there's the other side that says, that's not true at all. We don't have to worry about it at all. Well, see, now here's the thing. It may or may not be, and you may have a position on it, you may take a side on it, but here's the fact, is that you can't have two facts that are opposite one another. And so one of them is true, and one of them is a lie. And the thing is you're not going to necessarily know which one of them's true just by listening to the news. Because if you listen to one news agency, you're going to hear one thing. And if you listen to another, you're going to hear something else. If you talk to scientists, you're going to talk to one scientist that says one thing, and you're going to talk to another one that says something else. You might have a group of scientists that say one thing and a group that says something else. We have groups of scientists that say, as a matter of fact, evolution is true. And then we have Christian scientists that say, as a matter of fact, evolution is not true. So which one are you going to believe? See, what you need to believe is the Word. The Word is our truth. Our truth is not found in these different things in day-to-day. And this is why people get carried away with distractions so easily, is because what they do is they've gotten caught up in everything that's going on around them to the point where they forget something. You know, the Lord specifically, and I wasn't going to go, I'm probably not going to go into this a whole lot even tonight, but the Lord dealt with me very specifically about things that were going on in the election, in the political realm, just this week after the election, before anything was called, where they're still trying to, you know, states hadn't got numbers in and all this stuff. And he just dealt with me very specifically about those things, about some of those things. And one of the things I started realizing, or I started to see, is that the election really isn't about me in the sense of it should affect my life one way or the other. Yeah. As a Christian, it doesn't affect my life. Now, there are plenty of people that it affects. Yeah. But as a Christian, I supersede natural, I supersede natural things. Natural things should not direct my life. Why? Because I've been born again. I'm a new creation. Praise the Lord. I have a new place of authority. I have a new place of standing. Those things don't affect me. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't say the stuff doesn't matter. I didn't say what goes on in the world doesn't matter. There's a lot of people that are affected by it. You talk to millions of aborted babies when you get into heaven and find out how much elections matter. But that's not specifically, it doesn't affect me. And so what I started realizing is that my job is to do my job. We have a place of authority that we're given. We have to stand on the Word. But see, the problem is so many Christians have stopped standing on the Word. They've turned away from the Word, and they started getting distracted by, you know, life and everything that's going on. See, what does the Bible say? That's what we should go back to whenever there's an issue that's presented in front of us. What does the Word of God say? You don't have to, you know, it's like you don't even have to argue very far. If you're a Christian, you don't have to argue at all. In fact, all you have to do is, what does the Word say? Now, somebody can reject or accept the Word, that's up to them. But we know this, that the Word is the only truth. And if the Word isn't the truth, or if part of the Word isn't the truth, then we have no business with any of it. I have no business preaching it, and you have no business listening to it. Because if the Word isn't truth, it doesn't do us any good. But if the Word is truth, then we have to receive it as truth. We have to receive it all as truth. Amen? Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter if I'm hungry, the Word is truth. I don't live by the food. You might say, well, yes, you do, because you put food in your body and you need that nourishment. Yeah, absolutely. I get that. But that isn't the basis for my life. The purpose of my life is not to figure out how to eat. The purpose of my life is not to figure out how do I pay my bills. The purpose of my life is not to figure out how am I going to get to work on time, or the purpose of my life isn't to be even where I work. That's not the purpose of your life. You know, I remember when I worked in this factory that there was a lot of people who the sole purpose of their life was that. They couldn't understand why I wouldn't be there every single minute that I could possibly be there. I mean, there was literally people that they would get up to 6 weeks of vacation and they'd spend it all working. Well, listen to you. I'm going to tell you one thing right now. If you're gainfully employed, and somebody says I'm going to pay you to sit at home, and you choose to go to work, you better have your head checked. Listen, I'm just telling you the truth right now. I said, man, if they give me 2 weeks, I'm taking three. I'm just telling you the truth. This is the way it works. I'm not. Listen, we are. You got to take it when you're given it. You know what I mean? When you're given something good, when you're blessed with something like that. But there's people they get 6 weeks. They make them take one, and they'd be mad because they made them take one. I'm not kidding you. This is the absolute truth. And there was a lot of, and they just couldn't understand why they said, you know, they'd tell me because on holidays they'd pay us like, they call it triple time, because they pay you three times your normal wage for every hour you work if you work there. Three times your hourly wage. Now think about that. Yeah, that's real good money. But you know what I didn't do when I was offered to work on a holiday? I didn't take it. I stayed home with my family because my family meant more to me than making that. Now, you know, every once in a while, you know, if you need them, I'm not saying that, but you know, men, but see, those are men that live by bread alone. They live by, you know, and here's the thing, you know, the Bible in James tells us, what is your life but a vapor? Like, you don't know what's going to happen. Any one of those people could step outside. In fact, I knew several of them. I'm thinking of a couple of them right now that no sooner retired and ended up dying. That's the way they lived their life. They lived it to work that job, to get all that overtime, so that when they retired, they'd have something. They retired and died. Now, I'm just saying that, you know, of course, those are people that don't know the Lord. They're people that don't have the direction of God. And so they fell victim of that. But I'd much prefer to know the direction of the Lord. In John 4:34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." What is he saying? He's saying that his supply is to do the will of God. In other words, to follow his word. That's where, see, this. If I could get one thing over to every Christian or every person that calls himself a Christian today, it would be this. If you stay in the plan and will of God, he will supply all your needs. It is a matter of fact. It is scriptural. It is just as true in scripture as salvation. And I could show it over and over and over again. In fact, to me, the very idea that God would not take care of his people is it's absolutely absurd. You cannot look at the New Testament. I'm talking about the New Testament, but you can't look at the Old Testament either. You cannot look through this scripture and think and truly take in what the scripture says and think that God would not want to take care of his people. God is a good father. He wants to take care of his people. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it is connected to do something. Jesus came to show us how to live. Listen, he didn't have to be here for long to show us how to live. Jesus could have showed up on the scene, right? And he could have gone right to the cross. He was innocent, just as innocent. Praise the Lord. He was just as innocent at 23 as he was 33. Why did he wait till 33? Because Jesus had to do something here. What Jesus did wasn't just go to the cross. He didn't need to stay here as long as he did, if that was the case. And so we have to understand that our food, our supply, our life, our purpose in life, everything that is in us, what will drive us forward, is being in that plan of God, is being in the purpose and the direction of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so in order to be in the plan of God, you have to know what the plan is. And of course, the plan will vary from life to life. You know, we're going to have different things. Now, we'll be called together to do things. But God has a specific direction for each and every one of us. And that should be, in a Christian and a believer, the foremost thought in a believer's life should be, what is the plan of God for my life? It doesn't matter if you're 3 years old. It doesn't matter if you're 93 years old. God has a plan for you, and that plan has purpose. That plan has an intent that you would walk it out. God has promised that he would do that he would walk it out in you. You know, we love scriptures in churches like ours. We love scriptures like John 10:10, praise the Lord, that says, you know, that Jesus came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. Amen. We love that. But we have to understand that that's in the context of living a life for him. Truly living a life for him and putting down things, amen, in life sometimes that keep us from that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about getting in the plan of God. We're talking about being in getting our daily download, because that's really what it's about, is knowing what God wants you to do. You know, the plan, I've often said this, and God has shown me this, that the plan of God is not, he's not going to come down, you're not going to say, "Lord, what's your plan for my life?" I remember we had this young woman that came to our church for a while, actually a couple of weeks she came to our church. She didn't really like what we were saying, but she came and she met with us a couple times. She didn't like to listen too much, but at one point when she was listening, briefly, I said to her, you know, "God's got a good plan for your life." And she said to me, "I wish he would reveal to me what it was." And I, you know, in a moment, there's like, yeah, you know, that's something that a lot of us have gone through. A lot of people, but see, the thing is, God isn't just going to lay out the plan for you. You don't come before God in prayer and just say, "Lord, show me what your plan is." And then he's just going to lay out your entire life in front of you. The plan of God comes by walking out the plan of God. As you take steps, as you make those steps towards God, and it's not always going to happen fast. It's not, every door is not going to just swing right, wide open as you walk up to it. It's not like Walmart when you walk into it. You see, the society we lived in has spoiled us a little bit. Amen. You know, I remember one time my wife and I were, I believe it was my wife and I, maybe it was kids and me, I can't remember, but we were walking up to a door at some store. Was it you? You don't remember. We're walking up to a door at some store, and we walked up there, and the door didn't open. And we just stood there looking at the door. Like, why isn't this door open? Well, it wasn't an automatic door. But see, we grew so accustomed to having doors just open as you walked up to them. You know, it wasn't like, I mean, obviously you can see when there's, you know, a door that's got a handle on it or something like this. But it was like a Walmart type of store, you know, something where you walk up to and they kind of had that front and stuff. But we just automatically assumed that it was going to open. And we literally stood there and looked at the door. Praise the Lord. See this, a lot of things in our society has made us so immune to or callous to the idea of actually doing something, of actually, you know, waiting for something or going through something. It's like, no, everything should just open immediately. But see, the plan of God doesn't do that. The plan of God unfolds as you, it's kind of like if you think about a flip book. You know what I mean? If you've ever seen a flip book and you're flipping through the pictures, as you flip each, you know, each one is an individual drawing, but as you flip through, it's like you get what's going on. You start seeing the storyline unfold. Amen? And so that's the way the plan of God is. As you turn a page, as you step forward, as you step out in it, as you take each step in the right direction. Yeah. Now let me say that, in the right direction, if you keep going in the right direction, God's plan will unfold before you. And after a while, you'll get some revelation. And after a little while longer, you'll get greater revelation. And things you got revelation on a year ago, all of a sudden will be, there'll be more to it later on. In fact, God's been doing that with me just in an incredible amount lately. He's been taking things I thought I knew a year ago, and he's refining them and making me even see more aspects of it and a better picture of it. And then all of a sudden I'm seeing, well, this is why he started. You know, one of them that came to me today is how God has used John 8:31 and 32 all the way through our ministry. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to be using it in service, unless the service changes. But I'm going to be going to just those scriptures again. Why? Because the Lord just keeps bringing them up and bringing them up and bringing them up. Amen. And gives us greater revelation on things and how they connect to our lives. Praise the Lord. Did I tell you to turn to Matthew? Matthew 6:5. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we see here, we're going to start looking at the, this is called my Bible. It's called the model prayer. We're going to be getting into this. I mean, we've seen this before. We've heard about the Lord's Prayer. We're not going to be reading the whole thing. But Jesus was giving us some truths here that we need to see. In verse 5, it starts off, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." And so the first thing he directs us to do is not to make it, it's not about the spectacle of prayer. It's not about what you do. I mean, you can sit there and talk about how much you pray and all this stuff, but that doesn't really change anything. The purpose of prayer was not so you could show how spiritual you are. The purpose of prayer is so that you could connect with God. Amen? "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place." Now, this isn't specific direction. I've said this before, but I'll say it again, because some people get hung up on words sometimes. You know, that when it says go into your room and shut your door, it's not saying that you have to have a specific prayer room with a door on it. You know, what if you live in a place where you don't have any doors? When I was in Rio de Janeiro, we saw plenty of places that didn't have any doors. So is it impossible for any of them to get into a place of prayer? Absolutely not. God isn't directing us to have a specific room. What the idea is to shut yourself up, is to set yourself apart, to take yourself away from everything else and put yourself in the place where you can hear from God, where you're not going to have things coming in and out. You know, tonight as I was just, or this afternoon as I was just preparing to come to church, I have this room that I prepare in and I sit in and I'll read the word and I pray and do whatever else, you know. And Caleb was coming in, he was in the other room cleaning you know, doing floors and stuff like that. And he come in, and they understand this now. This my family knows that on Saturdays, you know, after I start, when I go in there and I start getting ready for the service at night, that I don't want a bunch of noise in the house. You know, my family is in the other room listening to TV, watching TV and doing all kinds of stuff, and people aren't running around. It's fairly quiet, very peaceful. And that's so because I want to set the mood, not just the mood, but set the atmosphere as a place where I can hear from the Lord. Amen. Have you ever tried to read a book when it's been real noisy or something like that? What does it do? You can't really concentrate on it. And that's why testing sites are always quiet, because they want you to be able to concentrate. Well, the same thing is when we go before the Lord. We should have a place, we should have the ability to be able to set ourselves apart. You know, my wife and I were in New York City one time. I can't remember if the kids were with us or not this time. But we love going to the city and walking around. And, you know, we were down in Manhattan where it's all nice and busy down near Times Square and stuff. And, you know, my wife mentioned something. She said, it'd be really hard to be a Christian and to get in the presence of God in a place like this, because there's so much going on and so many distractions. And I believe that's true. Now, you know, if the Lord led you to be in a place like that, I believe He would provide something for you to do that. But Caleb said to me, he said, I'm going to shut the door because I got a vacuum. And it just had that idea. And so they have that understanding that, we need to be holy about the places that we want to hear from God at. Yeah. Amen. It can be anywhere. It doesn't have to be. It could, but just having a moment of or moments of setting yourself aside. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you need before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. And I always love bringing this up at this time, because I grew up in a church where we always recited the Lord's Prayer. But what did He just say? He said, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions like the heathen do. The heathen are people that don't know God. In other words, don't sit there with your monotone prayer that you say over and 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 just keep going back to the same thing. This is not, Jesus was not saying, pray these words. This is such a big thing. We have to understand that. Jesus was not telling us that it was going to do any of effect. There are Christians, there are people out there that this is the bulk of what their prayer is. This is what they know as praying. They go to pray the Lord's Prayer. That is not what God intended us to do. But see, if we don't understand that, we get trapped up in that that religiousness, that religious ritual, that we have no reason, we have no understanding. Look, most people, I saw an awesome, it was a little clip of a little girl, and her mother asked her, she said, what's the Lord's name? And she said, Howard. And she said, Howard, you know, she said his name's Howard. And he's like, you know, she was like going on, she knew why. She said, why? She said, our Father who art in heaven, Howard be your name. That's the Lord's name, Howard, right? This little girl really thought it was. She's like, it's Howard, that's God's name. Well, praise the Lord. It was super cute. But see, it's kind of the point that I'm trying to make is that, see, people just get into the practice of saying something. They don't even know why they're saying it anymore. You know, I use this example about communion all the time, that when I was growing up, we did communion in church, but I had no idea, even up until I was an adult, even up until I was almost pastoring, I had no idea what communion was even about. I had no idea why God would have us do it. I tried to understand it, but I never really got it. Communion, and it's funny because there's some churches that won't let people take communion because they haven't been communicated. I don't know what the word is, confirmed or whatever, you know, they want because they haven't gone through a ritualistic process. But that's not what the Bible teaches us about it. Now, there is understanding that goes with it. Not preaching about that today. But it's the same thing with the prayer. The Lord's Prayer was not a direction to pray these words. In fact, again, if you don't believe me, verse 9, just before it says, in this manner, in other words, like this, like in this manner, these are the ideas, these are the things that you need to be looking for, amen? Yeah. Praise God, hallelujah. But then going forward, if we don't understand this, if we don't understand what God is talking about here and why he has instructed us to do these things, it's not going to make any sense to us. So we go into the prayer, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, this is a place that I always think of whenever I'm talking about people, when I'm talking to people that think that God doesn't want to do good things in your life. So you don't think heaven's good? Because God told us to pray that earth would be like heaven. And so if heaven isn't, if God wants us bad here, if he wants it bad for us here, and in heaven we're supposed to pray that this is like that, then we should expect that that's what he wants for us there too. But that wasn't right, right? Well, praise God. "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Now, this is the place I want to stop, because, you know, this is like, Lord, feed me. Lord, take care of me.
Yeah.
Isn't that basically what it sounds like? But see, the truth of the matter is that's not what Jesus was saying at all. Now, it wasn't long before that that he said, when we started off, right? Let me go back and reread this. Matthew 4:4. It wasn't long before that he said, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And then we see in John 4:34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." So when he is saying, give us this day our daily bread, he's saying, give us this day our direction. Give us the, of course, these people would have understood that because that's who he was talking to. But see, for some reason, it's gotten lost in the church. And I'm going to prove this more. Amen. I'm not just pulling something out of a hat. You know, I'm not just making this up. Praise God. Because he goes on later on in this chapter to talk about some other things. Now, I love this because, you know, we got to keep things in context, right? Keeping things in context is always important. Now, we know that the Bible was originally written with numbers and chapters and all that stuff, but those were put in there to help us understand. But we can understand the idea of finishing a thought, can't we?
Yeah.
Amen? And so if you're trying to talk to somebody, unless you're really random, like I am sometimes, and it makes it really hard to have a conversation, but like you typically don't just jump from one thing to another. Well, the Lord doesn't do that either. It's really hard to understand. If I was giving you instructions to make something, and you're sitting there, you know, maybe I give you instructions on how to make a cake, and you're there reading your instructions to make your cake, and then all of a sudden in the middle of those, I threw in instructions on how to make meatloaf, right? Two totally different things. You'd be like, what the heck? Wouldn't you? Like all of a sudden, I gave you the ingredients list for the cake, and we're talking about mixing the flour and the sugar and the eggs and everything else, and then I say, and then grab the ground beef, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't make any sense. We'd be like, well, this is crazy. It doesn't make any sense to us. Well, praise the Lord. God does the same thing with the Scripture. The Scripture doesn't just jump around all of a sudden, say one thing, and then go to another thing. When they're writing a continuous thought and letting us see something. One of the ones I actually thought I was going to preach on a little bit tonight and ended up not, other scriptures, was in John 14, when the Bible talks about, when Jesus starts talking about how he starts talking about mansions in heaven. And a lot of people fully misunderstand what that's talking about. He is not talking about, nowhere in that set of scriptures is he saying anything about when you die. In fact, I saw something today, that a scripture that I've used at funerals that is wrong. And that's where it says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." It's like John 14:6 or something like that, right around that area. Okay. I think many ministers have used that at funerals, except for the fact, in context, it has nothing to do with death. He is talking about coming to God in prayer. He's talking about coming to God in his presence. And he goes in a few steps after that, he goes right into talking about the Holy Spirit, like within a few scriptures. Because the whole purpose of John 14 is setting up the incoming of the Holy Spirit and what he was going to do in the life of believers. It has nothing at all to do with death. And yet people think, well, this sounds good in theory. He's got mansions in heaven. That's not what he's talking about. In fact, if you study that out, mansions in heaven, literally what it means, if you understand the scriptures, if you study them out, is he's talking about the indwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. The place that Jesus was preparing for us was not heaven. Heaven was already what heaven was. Jesus wasn't going to go change heaven for us. Right? That's not what he was doing. Heaven is always going to be what heaven is. Right? What he's talking about is when he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, what he's talking about is I'm going to go prepare a place for you in prayer, a place for you in the Holy Spirit. Praise. And that's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother time, but that's what it is. Amen? Glory to God. But if we take things out of context, you make it say anything you want. Glory to God. And so you're in Matthew 6, right? We read down there, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I want you to flip over to Matthew 6:31. So this is the same chapter, just a few scriptures away, right? So he just tells them how to pray. In the old way of thinking, he just told us, okay, we need to trust God, or we need to put before God to get our food, right? And now we pick it up here in Matthew 6:31. It says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? He's saying, don't ask the question. You don't need to. Yeah. Isn't that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Right? For after all these things, Gentiles seek. Food, clothing, shelter, all these things, Gentiles seek. Yeah. Those are the people that don't know God.
Right.
Listen, if you are a Christian who is seeking things, you are a Christian who doesn't know God. You're a Christian who doesn't know your word. God said, I will provide for you. And we'll see that here in a second. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, what? Shall be added to you. They shall be. So God says, if you follow me, all these things will be added to you. So do what? Follow me. Don't worry about all the stuff. Don't worry about, how are you going to eat? How are you going to, don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Follow me and I'll be added to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. So would Jesus tell us, if they were asking him the model prayer, would he be telling us to go do something and then a few scriptures later, a few minutes later, tell us not to do that?
No,
because how much sense would that make? You understand why Christians get confused? Because they're taught wrong. They see this stuff and they're like, it's in the same stinking chapter. It's right there. He just said it. Praise the Lord. He's talking about, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you need them, but seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Verse 34, this is very important to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, see, this is a really interesting point. What Jesus is saying is don't worry about the future. Don't worry about all that stuff. Don't worry about figuring it out. All you need to do is what's sufficient for today.
Yeah.
Now, he's not saying that, I'm going to send trouble on you. But he says whatever you have to deal with today, that's what you need to deal with.
Yeah.
The things you must deal with today, God, give us our daily directions. That's what he's telling us to do. When the Lord says, give us our daily bread, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God, give us our daily bread. Jesus compares bread or meat to the word of God. Praise the Lord. He talks about eating in context with the word of God all the time. In fact, even when he was dealing with the disciples, He rebuked them. He said, don't you remember when I fed them with the loaves and the fish? Did you forget about all that? See, the disciples, even on them, it was lost. But still today, on God's disciples today, it's being lost. They think, well, I've got to contend for the things that God's going to give me. I've got to get in prayer about my needs. I'm just telling you, I don't pray for my needs at all. I don't. My wife and I are fully supplied with everything and more. God gives us things that bless us. And we don't pray for our needs. I don't spend any time praying. I mean, when was the last time we prayed for something we needed? And when was the last time we needed something? There's times where we need things, but we never pray for them. We don't have to pray for them. Why? Because God supplies them. Praise the Lord. Seek first His kingdom. Lord, give me your direction for today. Not, Lord, give me your direction on how I can do what you told me not to worry about. Right? That's exactly what people are doing. They're going to God and they're saying, Lord, I know you said don't worry about anything, but I'm going to come to you anyways and ask you how I'm supposed to do this. How am I supposed to pay this bill? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now listen, sometimes you'll get into certain bills or something because you didn't follow God. And then you can get yourself into trouble, and then things can take a little time, obviously, stuff like that. But following God is most important. Now, we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark. Praise God. Turn with me to Mark 1. Mark 1:35. You're talking about daily downloads, right? It says here, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. So there's a lot in this. And I'll be honest with you, I don't do this every day. But it would behoove us to do it. Yeah. If you're going to start the day off, you might as well start it off right. How do we start the day a lot of times? I don't know about you, but a lot of times I start the day, what's going on in the world? Yeah. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. Not for a believer. Right. Praise the Lord. You don't need to know. Why? God can't tell you what's going on in the world? He can't. Listen, let me ask you something. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to know something that's going on. But does it matter to you truly right now? If it's not affecting you, does it matter what Iran is doing? Does it matter what Russia is doing? I mean, what are you going to do to change it anyways? Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, are you going to do anything to change any of that?
No.
You're not going to be able to move a hand. But see, now if you get into prayer, if you get into before the Lord and he says, now pray for Russia.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. There's your answer. Yeah. But why would you have to worry about something that you have no control over anyways? See, this is the problem with a lot of people, Americans especially, but Christians especially even more, is that they're worrying about a whole list of things that has nothing to do with them.
Right.
They're worried about all these kind of crazy things. I am not saying it's not good to know. I am not saying that you want to be ignorant to all things. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that those things can't be a priority in your life. Because if those things are the priority in your life, those are the things that you're being fed on.
Yeah.
You're not being fed on God. No. Go before God in the morning. Get into the Word. Say, Lord, I want to start my day in you. Praise the Lord. Now, that's what Jesus, why was Jesus effective? Not because he was the Son of God, because he started every day off just like this. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Obviously, they weren't doing the same thing. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. And so we understand here, how did Jesus know what he was going to do? It was because he got before the Lord and he said, Lord, give me my daily download. Give me what I need today. Now, of course, he wasn't saying download, but he was saying, give me my daily bread. What is it? He said his bread is to do the will of the Father and to complete his work, to complete what he has for him. Jesus knew that he was there for a purpose. You know what I think is amazing about the life of Jesus, if you really study it out, and you don't really have to get in depth to really study this out, but if you look at the life of Jesus, he said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly. And up until the point, you know, they sought to stone Jesus several times, but it didn't matter because at one point we're told that he just walked right past them. He just walked past them. Jesus, whenever he, when it was like time to feed the people, he just, what have you got? When it was time to praise the Lord, even Jesus, he had so much faith, was so full of so much faith. And they said they were trying to quiet the people and he said, you can quiet them, but the rocks will cry out. Jesus knew who his God was. He said, whatever's got to happen, whatever the Lord needs to bring forth, if through a person of faith, if they will trust God and believe God, whatever needs to happen is going to happen. Why? Because he spent time with God. Praise the Lord. He went before the Lord and he sought him. You know, one of the things, I read the Bible and there's a lot of things I don't always understand. There's a lot of things in there, you know, that are bigger than I am. And I just don't know. I don't know it. But I go before the Lord and I say, Lord, when it's time for me to learn something, Lord, teach me about this. Show me. And you know what he does? Just that. He teaches me. I mean, I'm a simple guy. Praise the Lord. Sitting in my simple easy chair. And sometimes I'm even tempted to go to the internet and start looking up what they say. But God says to trust him. You know, Jesus later on in John 14 there, just after he's talking about, the houses in heaven and all that stuff. Praise God. That was a joke in case anybody, I don't know, picked it up. But right after he talks about all that, you know, he calls the way he talks about the Holy Spirit there is he calls him the helper. Yeah. Helper. God has given us a helper on the inside of us. That's him. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, he wants us to be able to know. And I love this example. My son and I were working on something in his house, trying to get something figured out. It was in his little furnace thing. And it was something that neither one of us were furnace guys or heater guys or anything like that. So we just really didn't know. We looked on the internet, a bunch of different stuff, and just didn't get any answers. And he had actually a guy come over to help him, and he helped figure it out partway, but still something wasn't working. You know, and he just told me this story the other day, and I just love this. This is the Holy Ghost, right? And so he was just heading home or he was heading into his house, and he said all of a sudden he saw himself. It's like a picture on the inside. He saw himself taking these pliers and basically shorting out something, right? Like touching them to two points on the back of the furnace, right? Now, I'm not suggesting that you do this if your furnace isn't working, unless, of course, you get direction from the Holy Ghost. I throw that out there, that disclaimer out there first. But he just saw himself doing that, like a picture of it, right? And it just played before him. And so he went in and did it. Guess what happened? It worked. Why did it work? We don't know. He doesn't know. I don't know. Couldn't explain it. Every furnace guy in the world might tell you don't ever do that. But the Holy Spirit told him to do it. And it worked. And see, that's exactly, and I believe, and the Lord has done things like that with me. There was one time when I was working at the Jamestown Church, and I had to take apart this lock system. And I know I probably shared this story in here, but I'll share it again. I had to take apart a lock system and try to figure out, because it wasn't working right. And as I was taking apart, it was something I just didn't understand. And I was getting frustrated and more frustrated. And at the time, I didn't even have a smartphone, so I didn't, you know, I couldn't just go to the internet and look. And so I was sitting there in frustration. And finally, I said, Holy Spirit, you're my helper. Show me how to do this thing. And I stepped back, and within just a few seconds, I stepped back and I looked at it, and all of a sudden, I understood the lock. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. How did I go from it? Because the Holy Spirit's my helper. He just put the picture in there, and I knew exactly what to do. See, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. If we'll trust God, He wants to give us a download on everything in life. See, so often we're trying to fret and figure out how we're going to make things happen, how we're going to get things to work. And the whole time the Lord's like, if you'll just listen to me, if you'll just come to me. Jesus had lots of things to do, but Jesus did more in 3.5 years than most of us will do in our entire life. Why? Because he spent time getting his download. He spent time before the Lord. Listen, folks, there'll be, elections, there'll be presidents that come and go. There has been. There'll be politicians that are good and bad. None of that matters. Not for us. Praise the Lord. Now, again, that doesn't mean we stop praying for people and stop releasing food. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that we don't get worked up about it. It doesn't change us. You know, I had to take that attitude with the churches. The same thing with all this, coronavirus. And somebody even recently asked me, they said, well, if there's an uptick again and they shut everything down, would you be open to shutting down? So I'm open to do whatever the Lord has us do. I'm just going to follow the Lord. I'm not making any guarantees on anything. Listen, if God tells me to sell this church building and go buy a bus and take it to the road, guess what I'm doing? You'll show up here. It won't be us sitting here. I'm just telling you the truth. Like, I'm not so tied to something, or I'm endeavoring not to be, I should say. I'm endeavoring to not be so tied to something that's what I got to do. Now, God will have stability in our lives. You understand? God isn't moving us around and having you do something different every other day and go to a different church every other day, stuff like that. God isn't doing that. But there is purpose in his direction. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, as I was thinking about this message and thinking about these things, and you know, earlier I had mentioned how God will bring things back around, and this is one that He had. You know, when I was early on in pastoring, when we first opened the church in Mayville, we were in a hotel, and then we were in a storefront. And when we were in the storefront, you know, and I had just, once we got into the storefront, I was able to, you know, leave my other job, and I was able to just go in there and just do that for a while. And so I wanted to be a good pastor. And I went there, and I went with this idea that I was just going to go in there, and I was going to pray for like 3 hours or something like that. And I went there, and I prayed. And I'll be completely honest with you, this is the only time in my life that I ever prayed for 3 hours straight without stopping. And I did. I got there and I prayed for 3 hours straight. And you know what I had after 3 hours of prayer? Nothing. Nothing different. And after, I think it was the next day, I was a little bit frustrated by it. And after the next day, I was in there and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And He said, "Why don't you trust me to get in?" And I was like, "Yeah, use faith, right?" And I kind of all but forgotten about that until just this afternoon. And I was meditating on these scriptures and just thinking about the message and stuff. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, "You have to go in faith." When I was thinking about these scriptures right here. Jesus went every morning knowing that He was going to hear from God. See, I'm not saying that it's wrong to pray 3 hours. Of course, if you do that, praise the Lord, do it. You know what I mean? I mean, our endeavor should be to pray constantly and always. I mean, we should always have a heart that's before the Lord. But what the Lord, you know, was showing me is that you can get in just by trusting Him, not making it a thing. See, when we start making it a thing, it starts becoming another chore. But God doesn't want a relationship with us that's a chore. Because if it's a chore for us, listen, if it's a chore for someone to be in a relationship with you, do you want them around? Why do you think God would? If it's going to be a chore for you to go before God, He doesn't want to hear from you. He doesn't want you. It was miserable for me to sit there for 3 hours praying like that. You know what? It wasn't any more fun for our Heavenly Father. Why? Because He knew He was like, why would you think I'm enjoying watching you suffer? Yeah. That's all that it was. It was suffering. So what do? I endeavor to be before the Lord as much as I can. And I know that I need to do it more. But my point is that if we start putting times and numbers and things, and I have to do this 5 times a day. You know, isn't that what some religions do? Yeah. You have to look towards Mecca or whatever for 3 times a day, and you have to, you know. That, do you think that God is really hearing that? No, He's looking, He's like, you have to go in faith. Yeah. Jesus went before the Lord. His prayer was even, we see this, Jesus' prayer was even interrupted by His disciples. Say, "Everybody's looking for you. It's time to be done with that now and come with us." But see, God knew that when He went before the Lord, He knew that what Jesus knew when He was praying, He would get His answer. He would have His direction. Amen. Hallelujah. I think sometimes, you know, we tend to make the things of God so difficult. You know what I mean? We try to make things, the things of God, well, it's got to be like this and got to be like that. But God's like, "I just want to have a relationship with you. But I want you to follow me." See, the things that we have to understand is the most important thing is following after God. And again, I'm not saying limit your prayer life to 10 minutes. That would be dumb. It would be dumb to say that. But I don't think that it helps us anymore to sit here and say that we have to, you know, we have to go on and on and on and on and on. And I know that there's principles in prayer and that people have gotten into deep things and stuff like that by spending hours and hours and hours in prayer. I'm not negating that. So, you know, I want to make sure that I throw that out there. But I'm saying that we can't get so hung up on our ideas of how things should be that we throw away the Word of God. Yeah. Now, this is the important thing. This is kind of the thing I want to get to, and this will end with the scripture. It's in Acts 1. Praise the Lord. And we go to the scripture for a lot of different things, but we're just going to look at one aspect of it today. Acts 1:4. And this is key. And this is what I want to stress to you tonight about the daily download. Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Now let me ask you something. Is this direction specifically for all of us, to not depart from Jerusalem? No. We've never gone to Jerusalem. I've never been there, so I can't depart, right? Praise the Lord. But he says, he was speaking specifically for them. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, Jesus was with them, and we know now that Jesus is not here anymore, right? He may appear to somebody or something like that, but by and large, Jesus isn't here giving us daily directions. But he did, and right here, he was promising to go and wait for the Holy Spirit. Now, this is something we know, that not all the people that Jesus spoke to that day went and waited in Jerusalem. Some of them showed up, and some of them didn't. But the ones that did, they received something, didn't they? This is the important thing that we need to understand, that sometimes there is a time and a place for us to get something, and if we don't get the download, we could miss out on that download. And if we miss out on that download, those who missed out that day missed an awful lot, didn't they? They missed the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I'd pay big money to watch what happened in that upper room that day. Yeah. Praise the Lord. When the Holy Spirit come rushing in like mighty wind, tongues of fire on top of people, and there's, you know, all the stuff that was going on. 3,000 people come to the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. I'd pay big money to watch that. In fact, I look forward to watching it for free once I get to heaven. Amen. I'm sure that God's got some kind of movie theater up there. I can't believe that, you know, here on earth that we're out, Hollywood's out doing God. I can't believe that. Praise the Lord. So he's got some kind of good, you know, sound system up there and everything. We can watch it. But my point is this, without your daily download, there's things in your life that you can miss. Ask yourself, after hearing a message like this, ask yourself, how many things in life could I have avoided? Or how many things could I have gotten into if I had gotten the download when I needed to? Now listen, I'm going to tell you right now, don't be convicted all to yourself, because I'm just as convicted about this. There are a lot of things, you know, there's a lot of things, and we don't know all that's going to happen. We don't know all that's going to happen tomorrow. There's a lot of people convinced of a lot of stuff. But one thing I know is that everybody has been wrong. Praise the Lord. If you just look at the election, if we just use that as an example, one side said it's going to be a landslide. The other side said it's going to be a landslide. Guess what? It wasn't a landslide on either or. Praise the Lord. It was, I mean, regardless of where it is or where it ends up, none of that stuff matters. My point is that nobody out there knew. But I know that when the Lord started dealing with me about that thing that I was talking to you earlier in this week, when God started dealing with me about that, instantly peace fell on me, and there's been peace there. And since then, I haven't cared about what happens. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I say haven't cared, I mean from the standpoint of it doesn't affect my life. It's not going to affect my life. Listen, the Bible tells us to pray for people. It tells us to pray for those in authority, and I'll do just that. But it also says that if I'm faithful and I follow him, that I can trust that he will protect me. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, praise God, hallelujah, says that all things work together for the good to those who are the called. Right? In Romans 8:32, he says, if I give you Jesus, how much more will I give you all things? I'm not worried about it, and I'm not going to be worried about it. Praise the Lord. So as we go forward, now again, that doesn't mean we can't shirk our duties. We don't throw everything aside. It doesn't mean, I just don't need to vote anymore or anything like that. None of that stuff. We do our part. We do our natural part, the part we know how to do. We seek God for our daily download and in endeavor not to miss what he has, the direction he has for us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. Praise the Lord. My bread is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete that work. Amen.